Well, good afternoon, everyone. We may hear many explanations around us about the kingdom of God from all kinds of churches. So today we want to come to God's Word, the Bible, to see what it teaches us about God's kingdom. As Christadelphians, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God and that we should use it to base our beliefs on. It's much more important than the teachings of man. Well, many teach us that God's kingdom is in heaven and that it's already started, that people's souls go there when a person dies. Well, let's have a look at the Bible answer to that. Please can we turn to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. This is at the end of a speech that Peter and the Apostles have given on the day of Pentecost to a massive crowd of Jews in Jerusalem about how important Jesus was and is in the purpose of God. And Peter makes this comment in verse 34 about King David, who we're considering in our meditation this morning. Verse 34, he says, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand.'" So Peter then takes time to say that David has not ascended into heaven. Very clearly, doesn't it? Very clear. We can't dispute that verse. And if David, who was one of the greatest men of faith in the whole Bible, hasn't gone to heaven, when why should we think others may have? The Bible teaches that death is the end of consciousness and life, that the hope of life after death is the resurrection at the return of Jesus to the earth. Can we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, please? Matthew and chapter 8. Still on this thought about the kingdom, and is the kingdom in heaven or not? Matthew chapter 8, the teaching of the Lord Jesus, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 8. "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven here, but it is on the earth. People come from around the world to see this kingdom once it's set up. So it's the kingdom ruled by heaven rather than the kingdom in heaven itself. So we want to see other clear passages then that show to us that God's kingdom will be on the earth. And if we turn back to Matthew chapter 6, please. Our reading for this morning. And the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So we know this is one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is very clear. He says, when God's kingdom comes, his will be done on the earth at that time. So it's in the future from us. We don't see God's will being done in the world around us now. Can we turn back to Psalms then? Psalm 2 that we had for our reading. And we'll be coming back to this psalm, so keep a marker in. I'm sure I'll forget to, but if you keep a marker in, we'll be coming back to this later on. Psalm number 2 and verse 6. Psalm 2 verse 6, God says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So God is going to put his king in Zion, which is in Jerusalem, a city in Israel, and most definitely on the earth. Well, some around us teach that the kingdom of God is already here. It's in the hearts of man. So again, we want to see the Bible answer to this. Can we turn to Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah, please, chapter 17. We want to see that the heart of man is not the place for God's kingdom to mysteriously and secretly arrive into. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The Lord God says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So this is God's comment about man and his thinking. It is wicked and it won't easily accommodate God's will when there are things around us to tempt us and to distract us. And if we turn to the Gospel of Matthew again, please. Matthew and chapter 5. Let's see what Jesus says in this passage from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So Jesus then promises the meek to inherit the earth. And that will be when God's kingdom is set up here. But from Jeremiah 17, in the world we see around us today, we know the meek are treated unfairly. They have things taken from them. So it will need a complete change of leadership before the meek will be able to inherit the earth. The world now is a dog-eat-dog world where we know those people who are tough and stand up for themselves are more likely to do well than the meek. And can we turn on to the Gospel of Luke, please? Luke chapter 17. More words of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. So Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees, the leaders of his day, but those who wouldn't really hear him or take notice of the things he was saying. Matthew 17, verse 21. "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So Jesus does say the kingdom of God is within or among you. And with Jesus performing miracles and telling parables, he showed the people of his time what the kingdom of God would be like and taught them things they needed to do if they would like to have a part in God's kingdom. So the kingdom of God is not here yet or in heaven. But it has existed in the past. Please can you turn back to the first book of Chronicles in chapter 29. See where the Bible describes the kingdom of God on the earth in the past. First book of Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 23. This is just after the death of David that we've been considering this morning. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 23. "Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king, instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." So Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king. And we want to note certain features about this kingdom at the time of Solomon, and see later that the kingdom to come on the earth in the future will have many of the same features. Firstly, then, we can see it's called the kingdom of the Lord, or the throne of the Lord. Secondly, it was on the earth. Solomon reigned in the land of Israel. Thirdly, it was visible. All the nations round about knew that Solomon was reigning in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem, even if they might not have accepted it was God's kingdom. And fourthly, it had a recognised head, Solomon himself. We know a kingdom should always have a recognised king or queen. So how does the Bible describe events around us now in the world in 2015? Can we turn, please, to the prophecy of Daniel? Daniel in chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. God, with the help of Daniel, his servant, is showing Nebuchadnezzar the dangers of pride, that we shouldn't be proud, but also showing Nebuchadnezzar that God is in charge of the world and not Nebuchadnezzar. And this was a thing that Nebuchadnezzar had not grasped at the time. He thought he was such a powerful man, he could do whatever he liked. Well, let's have a look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Daniel 4, verse 17. The Lord God says, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the basest of men." So the world around us now then is described as the kingdom of men. The world is in the hands of men. We know high profile leaders like Mr. Obama and Mr. Putin. And a lot of the other leaders are less well known to us. But God also says here that he is in charge. that he allows these men to have control. He sets them up so that his purpose with the earth can come true. So the kingdom of God is to come in the future, and we want to see that it has the same features to the time of Solomon. Remember, Solomon's kingdom was visible. Everyone knew that he was there. Can we turn to the Gospel of Luke again, please? Luke chapter 17. Might well be the same chapter again. Luke chapter 17. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus about the kingdom to show us that it will be visible. It's not going to mysteriously arrive on the earth. Luke 17, verse 24. For as the lightning that lightens out of the one part under heaven shines unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. So Jesus is saying when he returns to the earth, everyone will know about it. Everyone will be able to see him like we could all see. I don't know if you had it in Preston actually, but if you had a big thunderstorm on Wednesday evening, was it? We had a monster thunderstorm in Sale and everyone was talking about it. The same thing will happen. Jesus will return and everyone will know about it and talk about it. Jesus is not going to return secretly and convert people one at a time. Let's have a look at Revelation, please. Revelation in chapter 1. To see the same idea again, that there will be a visible setting up of God's kingdom on the earth. Everyone will know about it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So those words are very clear, aren't they? Every eye will see him. When Jesus returns, every eye and all the kindreds of the earth will see him, will know that he's returned to the earth. The second point then, Solomon's kingdom was centred around Jerusalem in the land of Israel. What about the new kingdom? Well, we've seen already in Psalm 2, it talks about the king being in Zion, again, which is Jerusalem, but there are more places in the scriptures than just that one place. Please can we go to the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 14. Where will the kingdom be that's going to be set up on the earth by the Lord God in the future? Zechariah, chapter 14. And verse 4, Zechariah 14, verse 4, and his feet, Jesus' feet, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So he's going to stand by Jerusalem. And verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone to his left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So verse 4 then just describes Jesus' return, which we'll see more of later, but we can see he returns to Jerusalem. And verse 16 shows to us that the King is installed at Jerusalem, and again that all the people of the earth will visit there to see him. If we can turn back to the prophecy of Isaiah, please. Isaiah in chapter 9. But to confirm again where the kingdom will be when it's set up on the earth in the future. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So these words are familiar to us. They're often read out at Christmas, aren't they? About Jesus and the role he would take in the future. But from verse 7 we can see his kingdom would be upon the throne of David, which was in Jerusalem in the land of Israel. And so we may have guessed then from Isaiah chapter 9 who this will be, but remember Solomon's kingdom had a clear and recognised king. What about God's future kingdom? Well, please can we turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, to see words which were spoken to Mary, the mother of Jesus, before his birth, about the role that Jesus would have in the purpose of God in his life then and also in the future. So the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Jesus then will be the king. And again, his throne will be David's throne in Jerusalem, verse 32 that we've just read. And his kingdom will last forever, as Isaiah chapter 9 also said. So the kingdom of God with Jesus at the head is in the future. We know it hasn't started yet. Can we turn back, please, to words which were spoken to David in 2nd book of Samuel in chapter 7. Our very first verse was about the fact that David had died, that he hadn't gone to heaven. So we're going to read the promises that were given to David, both about the importance of his son and also how this would actually affect David himself. So let's have a look, please, at 2 book of Samuel, chapter 7 and verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, after you've died, David, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for ever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So the kingdom then will be established with one of David's descendants as king. We know that to be Jesus from Luke chapter 1. But also verse 16 tells us that David will be there. With the flat phrase, it will be established forever before thee. So David, we know, is not in heaven. Instead, he's waiting to be raised from the dead to see Jesus as king in the future. So we need to ask then, how will this come about? Will men see Jesus return and graciously hand over their power so he can be king? Well, certainly not. Can we go back to Psalm number 2, please? So this describes the reaction of powers at the return of Jesus to the earth, and how they give him a very rough welcome. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen or the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So we're being shown in this psalm that when the powers that be see Jesus return to the earth, they will attempt to keep their power and their territories by force. Well, what will God's response be to these things? Well, we saw verse 6 earlier, the king was going to be set up in Zion. And let's read verse 8 and 9. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen, the nations again, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So God says force has to be met with force. And God, as man's creator, is able to overpower man. It will be a dominant victory. This idea of dashing in pieces like a potter's vessel. If we have a potter's vessel that's not been in the kiln and we smash it on the floor, there's no way that vessel can be put together again. It's finished. It's good for nothing. So these powers will not be able to resist Jesus when he returns with God's power. And let's go into the book of Daniel again, please. Book of Daniel in chapter 2. to see how this victory of the Lord Jesus will be so dominant. So in Daniel chapter 2, the king, still King Nebuchadnezzar as it was in chapter 4, is shown a dream about history after, or the future after him, in terms of major empires on the earth, and that at the end of that time, he's shown these empires in figure of a man. The figure of a man would be hit on the feet by a stone, and that stone would crush all that image of a man that he'd seen. It would take over and fill the whole earth. And verse 43 and 44 here, and verse 45, is like a summary of what this all meant. So let's read verse 43 of Daniel chapter 2. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So, as we said, the dream was about a stone that smashed an image, and here is the explanation. God's kingdom would be set up, and to be set up, it would have to break up all the existing kingdoms as part of the setting up process. And again, we can note it will stand forever and it will never be destroyed. Man's power will not be able to resist Jesus with God's power when he returns to the earth. So what needs to happen then for the kingdom to be set up? Well, Jesus needs to be on the earth. Please can we go to the Acts of the Apostles again, Acts in chapter 1 this time. So this is just after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the disciples have just seen Jesus go up into heaven and disappear from their sight. And let's have a look at what the angel who's sent to explain these things to the disciples has to say. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. And while they, the disciples, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus, as we said, had ascended before the angel spoke, and the message was that he will return to the earth from heaven, and he will be seen when he does return. Now let's turn on to chapter 3 of the Acts, please. So like chapter 2, this is a time when Peter and the apostles are talking to the people in Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem are beginning to understand that they need to react and be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus to the earth. Let's have a look at the words of Peter and the apostles then in verse 19 of chapter 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So Peter again warns of the time when Jesus will return from heaven to the earth and he will refresh all things. And we can see that God had talked of this kingdom since the world began. Well, can we turn back to the Gospel of Matthew again, please. Matthew in chapter 25. See something that Jesus says about this same idea. That the kingdom has always been in the mind and the purpose and the thoughts of the Lord God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Jesus says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So just like in Acts chapter 3, then God has planned to set up his kingdom even from the creation of the world. All events since then have been allowed by God to move his purpose onwards. The purpose is unchanged and it will come about. I should say we're not told the day or the year when the Lord Jesus will return, just the type of conditions that there will be on the earth when he does return. Well, let's have a little look at what conditions will be like in God's kingdom on the earth. Please can we turn to the prophecy of Isaiah again, Isaiah in chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, we could really read the whole chapter, but for the purposes of this afternoon, we'll start with verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. So Jesus then will have power to cure diseases and ailments that we see around us now. He will also bring refreshment to the earth and stop the spread of the deserts that we still see now. There will be enough food for all on the earth. Please can we turn again to the book of Revelation, this time right to the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Again for a picture of what the kingdom of God will be like when Jesus returns in the future to set it up on the earth. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So it really will be a new order of things, things that we don't see around us on the earth now. God will take control, and he will eradicate the problems we see around us. Suffering, pain and death will be done away with. And please can we turn back to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, please. 1st letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul says, As it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there are many passages in the Bible that give us an idea about conditions in God's kingdom. But we see if we are part of these times, it will be beyond our experiences or our understanding. It will be so much greater than anything we can even imagine. So what do we need to do then if we want to have a part in these things in God's kingdom in the future? Well, can we turn for our last reference, please, to the Gospel of Matthew again. Matthew and chapter 24 this time. In this chapter, Jesus has given a lot of signs that will come before his return. But we want to have a look at the end of the chapter about advice that he gives to his disciples and to us if we want to have a part in God's kingdom to come on the earth. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 43. Jesus says, But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. So we don't know when to expect Jesus' return, as verse 44 says. But Jesus says we need to be on the watch. Not that we shouldn't go to sleep, but that we should prepare ourselves and be ready for Jesus when he does return. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. So if we are given duties by Jesus that we should be doing while he is away, we need to be sure we are doing those duties. We cannot relax and do our own thing. I'm sure there are many Sunday talks given from this platform about what those duties are, the things we can do that will please God and allow us to be granted a place in this glorious and powerful kingdom that will last forever. But I also urge you to read your Bible to find out more about these things, to try and prepare for that glorious time. God's kingdom is coming to the earth in the future, and you and I can have a part in it if we follow his word and try and obey it in our lives.